If you don't mind, I'd like to call to order the Kendall County adjourned September meeting of this Tuesday, 16th February 2016 at 9:20 a.m. Elizabeth Flowers will not be with us. Roll call.
Ms. Kulik?
Here.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers is absent. Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Mr. Kokel?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Present.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Here.
You have a quorum.
I'll entertain a motion for approval of the previous month's minutes, which you've all been reading assiduously.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, now, with the approval of the agenda, and I'll let our state's attorney explain this, we are going to split executive session between the item 9 and then at the end of the meeting, after citizens to be heard and questions from the press.
There's a couple action items that are on your agenda that you want to discuss ahead of time. So in order to not take a lengthy executive session while the people are sitting here, we can do that in two parts if that's the desire of the chairman and the rest of the board. And we can get some of those people out of here, and then we can come back and do the other things that don't require anyone else to have to sit through it. But it's, again, up to your preference, but that with the people sitting in the audience, probably best if we get them out of here.
Mr. Purcell.
I would move or second for that. I do have a question. What do we have, without going into details, what do we have for the second executive session?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to answer that question without going into details, but collective bargaining matters and pending litigation.
Sounds beautiful.
Lord Larry.
Excuse me, sir?
Never mind.
He made the motion. Do you want
to? I'll
second. Roll call. I want to do
that. You throw me for a loop when you do that.
What?
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Okay, do we have any special recognition? I thought we had something with the police. But we don't have it, obviously. We do not. Correspondence or communications from our county clerk?
I don't have anything at this time.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir, Mr. Davidson.
Question for the county clerk. Are the boxes out in the hallway up the last week? Is that ballots or?
Yes.
Those are cases to hold the laptops.
We bought laptops now.
We had to purchase laptops so that we could do same day voter registration on election day.
With election judges.
Wow.
Unfunded mandate coming right out of your pocket.
So what did that cost us?
I have not received a bill yet, but I'll let you know as soon as I do.
I'm sure you will.
Is that it?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Citizens to be heard. Oh, Mr. Milliron. Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
There's a lecture from my son about that.
Just don't call me late for citizens' comments. We'll be fine.
What do you say?
Like you.
Todd Milliron, 61 Cotswold Drive. The unfunded mandate for those computers was passed during finance and has been planned for, I believe. So that's not any news to this board. I would like to talk about the 13A, 3. It's a variance regarding a stormwater, something that Fox Metro is asking for. That's coming before you as one complete project. It involves 5 parcels. My concern on that is that proper notification needed to be given to all the affected property owners, and I don't think that happened to some of the property owners that were affected over there on Orchard Road. So I would ask that maybe you might want to consider tabling that and going through a new public hearing so everybody has proper notice, and then you can proceed and go forward from there as necessary. But everybody should have a chance to be notified and have a chance to research and see what's going on with that project, and then be informed and have a chance to come to a public hearing and speak their mind. I don't know if that happened. So I would ask that you may reconsider and maybe consider redoing a public hearing and giving new notice to all the affected landowners. Thank you.
Very good. 1 minute and 25 seconds. You're improving. We are now going into an abbreviated, I'm sorry, Mr. Bannister, please approach. You have 5 minutes.
Jerry Bannister, 110D Riverwood Drive, Oswego. I also am here to speak about 13A3. As we speak, my attorney is over at the courthouse attempting to get a verified emergency motion for temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction and a complaint for declaratory relief as it pertains to this issue. Since there's no way I have to know how the board will vote regarding either tabling this vote or other methodologies to delay it, I've had to attempt this action to protect my rights. It's not something I wanted to do. I didn't want to spend the money, and it's, you know, I guess a nuclear option. I do want to let the board know that yesterday afternoon I had a very pleasant, maybe not particularly productive, but very pleasant talk with the Fox Metro people, and we are continuing talks and will continue talks to get this resolved in a professional and good manner for all the parties concerned. So this, I'm not saying that we're stopped. You know, we're not yelling at each other. We're going forward, but I needed to do this to make sure that we had time to pull back and get this done right, not do this to stop this. I want that to be very clear. I'm not trying to stop this. I just wanted to go forward correctly. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Seeing none, hearing none, I will now entertain a motion to go into executive session.
And this, for this purpose, it's just for the litigation when action against, affecting, or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or tribunal.
Motion.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
All right, we're back in a regular session here on Tuesday, February 16, 2016, at 5 minutes after 10. Now we're going to new business, item 11, an approval of the resolution authorizing the release of all claims of Bonnie Flarge et al. Versus the Village of Oswego et al. Filed in the United States District Court for the Northern District of Illinois, docket number 13CV6024, comma, for the amount of $5,000.
Make the motion.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Davidson. Second, and Mr. Worley. Roll call, please.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
No.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
No.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
No.
Mr. Worley?
No.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
No.
Nays. Five nays. Four
Bob,
nays.
Bob, Bob.
Order in the court.
He was thinking right, John.
You were good going, Bob. Or elected officials report and other department reports. Could we hear from the sheriff?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. From the county clerk.
My revenue report is in the packet, and I've also included kind of an annual report stating the number of marriage licenses, death certificates we printed, assumed name, just the daily business of the county clerk and recorder and elections department for the year. Just a little information as to what we do and how hard we work throughout the year on all different kinds of things. We put the ordinances up. The expenditures go up for transparency issues, tax computation reports, EIS forms, which a lot of you have received. We process 750 of those. So it takes a lot of our time to do a lot of this stuff that that a lot of people probably don't really realize that we do. 31 FOIA requests. A lot of them aren't ours, but we still have to handle them. Recorder's office recorded 20,000 documents last year, 37 plats. A lot of more information we've been putting on the internet for people to see. The election, we had consolidated election last year. Turnout's not very good in those, but just reported on stuff like that so people can understand what we do and how hard we work throughout the year.
Thank you. So
if anybody has any questions, feel free to, happy to answer.
Any questions for Debbie?
Oh, and we have started early voting. We started last week here in the county office building. Hours are posted. They'll be in the paper for this following. How's turnout so far? Not so good. But hopefully it'll kick in.
So no electioneering in the parking lot.
That is true. 100 feet from the building, please.
Can we hear from the treasurer?
Good morning. You have my revenue report in your packet. So things are doing pretty good. I also sent out that email last week regarding the salary reimbursements. So hopefully all of you got that. And we did receive all of our salary reimbursements through the end of December. So thanks to the state's attorney's office and their help. And so that was a good thing. And I'm hoping that, you know, other stuff will then continue to come in more steadily as well. And maybe at some point they'll pass a budget. I really don't know. Are there any questions?
Mr. Purcell has a question.
Well, I don't have a question so much as an observation or a couple. I see the transportation and public safety sales tax, they're inching up, not at the robust increase that we saw last year, but about a 2% increase.
Right.
Now, granted, it's only 2 months. But then I see the major revenues for the general fund. Again, only 2 months, but they're down about 15% versus last year. So just keep that in mind when you make any decisions, people, that might affect your long-term finances.
Are you speaking to Jill or who are you
just
talking?
Whoever wants to listen and whoever might have a vote on an issue.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Yes, what's in that jug? There's no more. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Jill.
Clerk of the court. Is there anyone here from the court? State's attorney.
Two things. One, Jill mentioned about the disbursements. We're one of four counties that have received their money, so hopefully the rest of the counties will be getting theirs as well. We'll continue to monitor that on our end, but that basically will hopefully put to rest our case that we have pending here. Second is, don't forget, tomorrow at 3 o'clock is the Mutual Ground ribbon cutting. Hopefully you all can be there. Folks who allowed us to put that facility along with the sheriff and the clerk in the courthouse. So it should be a very short but very nice event.
What time?
3 p.m. Kendall County Courthouse in the main entrance area. That's all I have.
Any questions for our state's attorney? If not, coroner's office. Is the coroner's office present? Deaths must be down. Health department? That's odd. Supervisor of Assessments, Andy Nicoletti. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. In your packet, there's a couple of reports that I've submitted. The first one I'll go over is the one that's the grid. Those are the projected equalization factors for each township based on the sales ratio study. As you can see in the column, it says X factor. Those are all positive factors, so we're again seeing assessments increasing for 2016. They range from Fox getting a 1.0 factor to 18.32 in Little Rock. So there's kind of a range there. If you look at the urban weighted, the 7.93 is the county average. So that's how much the EAV for the county needs to come up as a whole. And of course, each township has what it needs to do as well. Any questions on that? Okay, then we move on to the next. Is my estimate of the 2016 EAV. You'll see the final for 15. From that, you have to subtract the farm land and farm building because those aren't subject to equalization. Gives you the non-farm EAV for 15. Multiplying that times the projected factor gives an estimated gross EAV of a little more than $3 billion. Adding back the farm buildings and farmland. What I found last year is farmland increased by about 4.68%, so I added that to what the 2015 was. Estimated new construction about 28 million, and estimated BOR reductions of about 21.3 million. Gives you an estimated 2016 of a little over 3.1 billion, or about an 8.1% increase for 2016. So from that point of view, things are looking good. So we're seeing some values coming back.
Any questions? Oh, Mr. Davidson?
So you're telling us that the taxpayer is going to be looking at an 8% increase in their assessed valuation?
On average.
And the farmers are 4.5 to 5.
Yes. Because of the change in the way that they calculate the crop productivity indexes.
Now this is all due to the equalizer factor from the state?
These are based in are you talking about for the farmland or for the overall?
Both.
Actually, the sales ratio study that I do is the same thing that the state does. However, the state is looking to equalize county to county, whereas I'm looking to equalize township to township, so that a $200,000 house in one township should be the same in both townships. So if you've got two houses that are worth, say, $200,000, they both should have similar assessments, regardless of what township they're in. When the state comes along and does it, if we don't raise it up to where it needs to be, they will equalize everybody within the county. So if you're already at 33 1/3 within your township, they're going to slap a factor on top, and now you're going to be above that 33 1/3. So, or below, depending on which way it goes. In this case, it's going to be a positive factor. So, but to answer your question, yes, on average, they'll go about 7.93%.
I know this has been going on a long time, but when did this start? I mean, these taxes stay in the county, correct?
Yes, property taxes are local. They don't go to the state.
So how does the state get involved and telling us what we should be taxing ourselves for our own money?
Department of Revenue in the state of Illinois, General Assembly, comes up with the rules that we have to follow under the property tax code. So they basically set the rules and we have to follow them as far as setting assessments. And the guidelines they use for sales ratio come from the International Association of Assessing Officials, or IAAO. Sets the standards for sales ratio, and they finally follow those guidelines as to what type of sales are included in the sales ratio study and so forth.
Mr. Purcell?
So a 7.93% or 8.1%, whichever
right.
you want to choose, increase in average valuation does not equate necessarily to an 8% increase in a person's property taxes.
That's correct, because under PTEL, as
0.8% last year?
Well, 0.8 has to do with the CPI. That's separate from this. That's for setting your levy. under PTEL.
But that will have an impact on a person's property taxes.
Yes, it will, and CPI does every year.
Right, so which is 0.8% is substantially less than 8%.
Right, but the assessments on average will be coming up about 8%, which means that on average the tax rates will come down 8%.
The tax rates.
Right. It doesn't mean your taxes will,
right.
But under, as you know, under PTEL, as assessments increase, rates decrease. As assessments decrease, rates increase. Because you're setting the amount of the levy, you're not actually setting the rate for the money that's going to be received. So under PTEL, if assessments decrease, a taxing body is not losing that money, it's just being pushed to another taxpayer because you're going to get whatever your levy is. It's just going to take a different amount of dollars per hundred to achieve that.
So the average person should not expect an 8% increase in their taxes.
That's kind of a loaded question there, because if your assessment goes up by more than the tax rate decreases, you will see an increase in your taxes.
But somebody else's property would have to offset that to get to the average.
Right.
So the average person, not all people.
Right.
Are you done?
Mm-hmm.
You.
For this issue, yes.
Mr. Davidson?
That's where the... Say a farmer tears all his buildings down and they were valued at $50,000 to $100,000.
That amount
then
of that,
all that gets spread amongst everybody else and we pick up
within that district, that's correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just as if we'll use Menards as an example, the Menards warehouse, they got an assessment reduction. The amount of the taxes from that got spread amongst all those within Little Rock Township.
So in other words, whenever there's a tax, we give a tax deduction to somebody else.
Whenever
somebody picks up the tab someplace.
That's correct. Whenever there's an assessment reduction, it gets that amount of tax money gets spread amongst everyone else within that tax district. That's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, item 13, standing committee reports, planning, building, and zoning. Mr. Greider.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First item on our agenda, I'll make a motion for approval of petition 15-17 by Kevin Calder for a special use located at 9923 Walker Road in Kendall Township to allow a landscape operation in the A1 Agricultural District. And John, do you want to come up and
second.
Talk about that? Thank you.
Second by Mr. Davidson. Speaking now, Mr. Starrett.
Sure. Scott, you pretty much summed everything up. Just to give a little recap of the process through this did receive a favorable recommendation from both the Plan Commission and the Hearing Officer, as well as a favorable recommendation from the PBZ Committee. And we do have some conditions that are being placed on the ordinance that you'll see in your packet. If you want, I can answer any other questions, any questions regarding those conditions.
Mr. Purcell.
Are the petitioners fine with the conditions?
Yes, we do have the petitioner here, and he has expressed that he's comfortable with the conditions we've placed on that.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairman. Second, I will make a motion to approve the petition 16-01 by Peter and Mary Bilby for a special use located at 8573 Fox River Drive in Fox Township to allow a kennel operation in the A1 Agricultural District in a variance to section 7.01D.27 of the Kendall County Zoning Ordinance to permit a kennel structure to be located 25 feet from a non-residential zoning district. And we,
second.
Once again, thank you, second for the second. Once again, we added several conditions on this, including review once again in 1 year from, I think, February 1st.
2017.
Just to make sure that they're in compliance with the special use and that the neighbors don't have any issues that the neighbors were concerned about, noise and loose dogs and different things like that. So we're building that into the special use to make sure that there is a review, an ongoing standard of review to make sure they are in compliance. And don't know if you have anything you want to add to that.
Just one thing to note on this that's a little bit different from other special uses. This special use will run with the petitioners, mm-hmm. only the property owners. It will not run with the property as is our other special mm-hmm. uses. The petitioners have expressed they are comfortable with that condition. Reason being, just from some of the concerns we received from the neighboring property owners, the Plan Commission and the hearing officer felt it would be best to have it run with the petitioners only.
Mr. Purcell.
So the petitioners are, in fact, okay with that because that is contrary to our standard of practice.
That's correct. It's in our zoning ordinance, by default, the special uses run with the property. And the petitioners who are also here have expressed they are comfortable with that as a condition on their special use.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Roll call.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. Finally, final item, or not final item, but the third item, approval of a variance to accept a fee in lieu of site runoff storage under the requirements of sections 201.6, depressional storage, and 203, site runoff storage requirements of Article 2 of the Kendall County Stormwater Management Ordinance for on-site stormwater detention in the amount of 6.69 acre feet and depressional storage in the amount of 0.4 acre feet and to waive the requirements of Section 403.A, hydraulically equivalent compensatory storage above and below the 10-year flood elevation, and Section 403.D, compensatory storage adjacent to the development of Article 4 of the Kendall County Stormwater Management Ordinance for floodplain compensatory storage for the Fox Metro Water Reclamation District located at 682 State Route 31 in Oswego Township. And we had our... we had the public hearing for this on Thursday, and I believe Greg Chismark is our engineer, and he had some things that he wanted to follow up on from that meeting.
Yes, good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Greg Chismark, WBK Engineering, been involved in stormwater management since 2008. I know some of you know my face, but just some background. Worked with board member Worley on the Planning Commission and Fran Kloss on the Technical Advisory Committee. So before us, Mr. Greider mentioned, we had a hearing last week. This variance has two components. The first component is the site runoff storage component, and the second component is the floodplain storage. So there's two variance requests rolled up in this item, and I'd like to break those out if I could and talk about them separately and probably focus more on the first one than the second one. So the first one is the site runoff storage, and I'm going to call that stormwater detention. So the stormwater detention is what you're probably generally all familiar with. Somebody comes in, develops on a piece of land, whether they build houses or a strip center or a wastewater treatment plant, in this case, they're required to provide site runoff storage. And the purpose of that site runoff storage, detention pond, if you will, the purpose of that is that as you develop a land, you increase the amount of runoff. So you're going to capture that runoff in a basin. It could be a wet basin or a dry basin. And you're going to release it slowly. And the purpose of releasing it slowly is to do two things. Is one, you want to protect downstream landowners, anyone who might be directly adjacent downstream. So let's say there's an agricultural use directly downstream. You want to protect that from the development, right? And then secondly, the second thing you want to do is we manage peak flow rates. So we're always talking about peak flow rates in terms of stormwater detention. So this first variance that's come before us in terms of Fox Metro, their request is not to provide that detention that I just talked about. And there's two reasons. First of all, they're directly adjacent to the Fox River. There's nobody downstream of them. They're directly adjacent to a major waterway. There's no other use that could be impacted by them not providing that detention. Secondly, the peak flow rates. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. So the idea of slowing down the peak flow rate in most cases is beneficial. When you're next to the Fox River, as you know, rises slowly when it rains and falls slowly. relative to flooding and other minor creeks. So the idea of holding the water and slowly releasing it, in their case, may in fact combine peak flows. So the idea of releasing it before the peak flow of the river comes through and adjacent to the site makes technical sense. They've requested the variance. We've reviewed it. We agree with that portion. And in fact, the stormwater ordinance on this particular item, remember there's two of them, on this particular item, the stormwater ordinance recognizes that technical merit and established a fee in lieu of component. So they've agreed to the fee in lieu of the site rental storage. So in other words, nobody gets a free ride. They will participate in that, and they're not providing that site rental storage. So on this first item, what we would look to do is to seek a positive approval of this variance from the county board. I want to talk about the second one too, and I know at the hearing, and maybe now is a good time to ask for questions. I'm certainly.
Well, I'd love to ask questions on the first point before you get second.
You say that we're voting on two separate items there.
Yes, sir.
So why aren't they listed separately?
If I may.
Yes.
And I didn't make a motion before because I thought we should have our discussion, but thanks for seconding my non-motion. But I know the way you just described it as two separate motions or two separate positions, you would be looking for two separate votes?
I think what we'll be looking for, yes, on the second item, the compensatory storage, maybe I'll just jump in and say, given the testimony at the public hearing and conversations with adjacent landowners, we're not looking for a vote on that item today. That variance bears some further review and look at some additional options, such as providing the storage on the site. There was questions on the notice, I think, that was raised, and certainly from that perspective. So for the second component, we're not looking for a decision on it. That would be a continuation on that particular variance. The ordinance, again, had two segments of the ordinance that's being varied. The first one, I am looking for feedback and a vote. The second one, on the floodplain storage, the Orchard Road site, if you will, which I haven't talked about, we would not be looking for a vote from the board.
Let me ask our council, if I may. Mm-hmm. Can we split these votes in the nature that he's suggesting? Or is it all as one? Or should it be all as one?
Go ahead.
I'll stop there.
The way you have it worded right now is set as one motion.
Correct.
You can amend your motion to eliminate portions, whatever you choose to do, if you choose to do one or the other. If you don't want to vote on the first one and vote on the second one or vice versa, you can eliminate that one, move to amend your motion or amend, because you have it listed as an action item on your agenda, and you can vote on that and do whatever else you want to do with the second one at some later date or some later time.
And you should probably talk about the second part, but at the public hearing it seemed clear that there may be the proper notice hadn't gone out as to at least the second part of this. Are we able to separate the two, or does that public hearing need to be again on two separate items?
Yes.
Without knowing what the public hearing entailed at that time and also what the notice requirements are, since we found out about this morning, best practice maybe just to redo the whole thing again if there is a problem. But again, that's an issue between the petitioner and the individual. We are checking to see what the status of that injunction filing this morning would be. That may solve your problem, and if you want to hold off for a few minutes. I know that got filed this morning. I don't know the status of it. We're checking now.
Mr. Kokel and then Mr. Davidson.
Could either Mr. Greider or the engineer here, I think I follow this and understand it. Can you explain it a little bit more in the two places? As far as the second spot is off Orchard Road, you just finally said the word Orchard Road at the end of your last statement, but that's the first time you said it. Where is it located on Orchard Road exactly?
It would be directly west of Orchard Road. There's
you
a pump.
Talk to everybody. I know where it
Okay, there's a pump station site, and it's, I don't think the exhibits are here. At the hearing, the petitioners had an exhibit. It's on the pump station site directly adjacent to the Fox River west of Orchard Road. Directly west of Orchard Road is where it was proposed.
Mr. Davidson.
This is, and I have a problem that this is all one project. You can't have A and not do B, correct?
The two variants, well, I don't know if that's entirely correct. The compensatory storage requirements, what the variance that is being proposed, because it's not on there, the project is the plant, the Fox River plant site. So the Orchard Road site is an off-site facility. If they were doing that on the site, there wouldn't be a variance needed. There's no, the reason it's needed is because it's off-site, is the primary reason that the variance is needed. So if they look at other options, such as providing it on-site, then it would either reduce or potentially could eliminate. And that's what Fox Metro would like to do at this point. And I don't know that there's any issue with re-noticing. I think again, given the concerns expressed by the board and the public on that particular component, if Orchard Road were to continue to be part of the project, re-noticing to include it seems appropriate and would be included as part of it.
But that,
the distinction I want to make is the first component has nothing to do with Orchard Road. It's only what's happening on site. So there's no storage provided, and we're okay with that. And that's only the plant site. So that's why I'm kind of making that distinction is between the two components, why the first one okay.
But you just, unless I'm mistaken, you said they wanted to go back to the drawing board and see if they wanted to put this back on the site or... are they're never going to put this on the site? I don't see how we can, if we give you the one vote and you come back and change your mind where you're going or what you're going to change things, I think you got to bring it all at one time and get it. Let's get this thing settled where it's going to go. If it's going on Orchard Road or if it's, this is, we're just got,
See it again if they're not fully compliant and there's a variance requested. You'll see it again relative to the floodplain compensatory storage. That first component won't change, and that's the only reason, since we had the motion drafted, that we thought that it would be appropriate to request a vote on that first component, recognizing the second piece does require some further investigation. So
can you tell us why it's together to begin with, if we can go forward without one component, and what would be the fallout, I guess, if we let them go forward with the first part without having the second part settled?
Let me ask something to that, add something to that. If we approve the first part, does that not mean that way up there by the Caterpillar plant, which is not anywhere near Orchard Road, that and they've already moved a lot of dirt, they can start construction?
There would need this variance would be in place, and then a stormwater permit would have to be issued for them to start I think they've set up erosion control and done some tree removal, but to do that they would need a full stormwater permit.
Which is the second half. So are you saying we can't split it then?
Well,
the reason that this is contentious is the second part of this is not in the legal description, nor was there any notice given to the adjacent landowner.
Correct.
So if you're saying we can split it and bring it back, why then they can start construction up at the other end if that's all right with the Fox Metro.
The second
part is sadly lacking.
Yes, and I think to answer the question about why is it this way, it was submitted as two variances by the applicant, and And so it was presented as two, thought to do it as a package. But given the issues that have happened relative to notice and so forth, the compensatory storage component requires some more work. And if we split it, that would allow potentially the issuance of a stormwater permit, and then we could work out the compensatory storage components as district sees fit following.
Mrs. Gilmore has a question.
Well, first of all, you need to do the correct process on the notification. But my question is, it wasn't really made clear initially when you came in at the public hearing why you are using this off-site location in the first place, and why not?
They have to do it.
Well, I just wanted him
there
to
were,
explain.
There were environmental resources, wetlands, and there were some that were considered high quality. That was one of the first questions we asked when the application came in, and we vetted it, and they said, well, we can't do it because there is this high quality environmental resource. We requested documentation, and then we got it relative to that. So this was thought to be an option that would be allow them to comply, that would be more palatable and not disrupt wetlands and the resource there.
And then have there been similar studies down on the Orchard Road location?
Those will be ongoing in terms of the Orchard Road, in terms of the wetland assessments.
Your wetland area that you have up by the Fox Metro, which used to be the old wallpaper plant, which is up there by Route 30, you're going to build in those wetland retention areas, correct?
There is some, I'll speak on behalf of the petitioner and they can jump in if I misspeak, but there is some encroachment into the wetlands.
Right, which is why you need this other.
Yeah, they did get an Army Corps of Engineer permits and they are mitigating those wetlands. And, you know, the Army Corps always, their first approach is to avoid disturbance of wetlands. That's always their first approach. And not all wetlands have the same quality. Some have higher qualities than others, depending on the plant species that are there. So wetlands adjacent to Fox Metro, they sought to minimize that, and they're higher quality than wetlands in other locations. If that answers
Superintendent of Highway Klaus, would you approach?
Yeah, Kes. Fran Klaus, County Engineer. I just want to remind everybody that Greg does not represent the petitioner. He works for us. He represents the county. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. He is looking out for the best interests of the county. He doesn't work for the petitioner. That's all I want to say.
Well, then how can he split the petition in half?
He isn't splitting the petition. He's making a recommendation.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with it.
To answer your question, Chairman Shaw, I think we see that the petitioner's request for the second component requires further evaluation. The first component, though, we feel comfortable with. I have no reluctance to recommend approval to you on the first component and have that completed.
Could I ask him a question? Learn of council right now.
Sure.
Can we do that?
I'm just looking at the pleading that was filed. They are still in court over that, and I have not been a chance to talk to the assistant state attorney who's down there. The way you have your ordinance written currently involves the granting of variances to the Kendall County Stormwater Management Ordinance for the property, and it goes on. They are sort of intertwined, so if we want to pass it, I guess it's probably a bad choice, but to postpone this for a few moments, we'll maybe discuss some other things. I can get a little more of an update of where they are in court. I'd like to talk to the attorneys on both sides for Fox Metro as well as the petitioner to see what their position is, and maybe I can report back to you either after the break or at some point later in your business today, so you're not postponing what you're acting upon, but at least you have a better understanding of where they are in court, because again, it may be a moot point if he grants the injunction against taking any action, because this ordinance, as it is in your packet, is what is attached to the petition or the motion that was filed. So if it says you can't vote on anything that's in here, then you can't do anything if that's what the court says. But again, I have not seen any order from a judge, nor have I talked to counsel for either side.
Would that be acceptable to this board if we delay this until?
That'd be acceptable to me.
Mr. Purcell.
I'd be fine with that, but short of that, I'd rather just send this back to committee. I think it's just too complex, and between what we heard today and what we've heard Thursday, if it comes to a vote today, I'll vote no.
Mr. David?
Well, I hate to say I kind of agree with John. Yeah, I know it's terrible, John. But why don't we just table this to the next meeting till we get time for you to clarify everything up?
Mr. Worley, who's against tabling?
Yeah, I'm not. I sat with a long time with Greg and forming this stormwater ordinance. And I apologize to everybody out in the public, too, because this is just one of those very unique situations where we have two different spots that are combined in one, and we didn't do what we think is, what I think anyway, was the right thing, is notifying both locations. We're doing it right according to the stormwater ordinance, but not what's right for people, and that's why I don't have a problem holding off on the second part of this at all. But I think the first part of it is apples and oranges. It's a completely separate thing. Mm-hmm. And can go through very easily so that they can continue work. But the second item, I agree 100%. I think that it was a short-sighted on ours, but we just couldn't, in all the years we spent in doing this, and Fran, you were there, we just didn't come up with this scenario. So it's something that we didn't anticipate. I think we should do right by these people and hold off on the second one. But the first one, in my opinion, and it's Greg's, and I think, a lot of different people, is go ahead and let it roll, and let's get the first side of it done. However, if we'd like to take a break first and let Eric's group get a chance to catch up, it might be a moot point, like he says, anyway, and we might not have a choice. So,
Mr. Davidson?
Didn't you say that they can't move on, even if with the first part, till they get the second part straight with the Corps of Engineers and everything else?
They have their permits for their plant site. They have their permits from the Corps of Engineers.
It's my understanding.
They're not even, yes. So they have their permit for the plant site. So the on-site detention component, again, that's one element. And whatever happens with the floodplain compensatory storage, it's going to come back before you. It won't affect the first piece. It remains the same. So that component won't change, whether Orchard Road goes away or continues to be part of the solution there. The first component won't change.
Mr. Kokel.
I know the Fox Metro has been working on this project for a long time, and I do see the glitches that Mr. Worley mentioned, and you know, people should have been contacted, but I do agree that if we can split this and get them started on the first part that has no bearing on the Orchard Road end, I would support that today. But as far as the second part, I couldn't support that today until we got a little more information and went through the proper channels. So I'd like to see the first part, if we can vote on it today, to vote on it today at some point.
Good. I heard half of that. Mr. Purcell.
Two points. One is back to the first part, the fee in lieu site runoff storage. I'm not an engineer.
Really?
No, I'm not kidding at all, Shaw. But I will say, if you allow water from this site to dump into the Fox River sooner, maybe the water from upstream won't meet with this water, but this would potentially impact downstream flooding negatively by allowing that to happen. So I don't know if I agree with that or not. But my biggest concern on separating these, and again, I will vote no if it comes to a vote today, is this. We were told Thursday that if they wanted to move that soil around on the downstream Orchard Road, we'll call it Orchard Road parcel, if they wanted to do that separate from this project, they could have done that because our staff and our engineer said, we agree, you can do that. So now, we all realize they can't do the project unless they make accommodations for that water. So if we approve the first one, they can come back through and say, you know what, we can do this without going to the board for a vote. If we do that, we are not doing justice to this whole process. Because if you want to say you've got a parcel that's 2 miles downhill from a project, and you just want to move the soil, and then 3 years later you come back and do another project that's uphill and say, well, we're going to tie it to that because we're allowed to do that, those are separate. To me, these, whatever the word Jerry used the other day is, I can't say it, but these are tied together. It's that simple. So you vote no on the whole thing, or you vote yes on the whole thing. And I'm voting no at this point.
Mr. Worley?
I don't want to speak for the petitioner, but I think they agreed to hold off on the second part and notify the people and get something. So, you know, I think we're all good with this.
Well,
they're not,
bring
they're not
them
planning
up here.
On going ahead with it without bringing this group and the people a chance to speak.
Are they out there somewhere? Or is it here? Very good, Jeff.
Good morning.
Just give your names again, that'll be sufficient.
A break might be in order because my understanding is that Mr. Bannister has agreed to split these two variances. I'm just giving information that I've received.
That's correct.
So that's a possibility if you could respectfully do that.
Well, in that case, I'm declaring a 3-minute and 40-second break for hairpiece adjustment and time for Juan Ides. Don't tell your mom.
Okay, we're going. Okay,
we're reconvening after the 3-minute and 40-second intermission here with donuts. And we are once again at Standing Committee Reports and Planning, Building, and Zoning, Item 3.
If you want to just continue that for a few minutes, we'll make sure the judge signs that and agrees to that order. And as soon as I have that, I'll get that kit. I think we're ready to go. Ooh. We'll just come back to 3.
Yeah.
And if I can just update, I've talked to both parties. They seem to be in agreement as to what you can vote on, that they are looking at. Again, the judge has not approved it yet, so I guess your patience for just a moment. But the understanding in talking to both the attorney for the petitioner and the attorney for Fox Metro is that they would allow a vote on the site runoff storage requirement, that they were withdrawing that from part of their petition for any temporary restraining order. They were going to agree to a TRO on the issue of the floodplain compensatory storage, so you would not be allowed to take action on that. I know they have drafted language accordingly. John drafted an amended variance ordinance for you to consider. Whether you choose to or not, that's up to you. But I ask for your patience for just a moment till we see, make sure the judge agrees with that. As long as he does, you'll be able to go forward on, if you choose to, on part one is what I'll call it. So I just ask for your patience for a few minutes as we try to work that logistic problem out.
We will then advance to item 4, approval of a proclamation recognizing the 175th anniversary of the creation of Kendall County.
So moved.
Second.
I'm sure you've all read that.
I'd like to, do you mind if I read it out loud, Chairman? I know we've got some timing here, but I think it's important enough that we take a second, if you don't mind. And I apologize, I need to open it up here.
You're fine.
Item 3. Oh, here we go. Thank you. You know, it's been 175 years since Kendall County was founded, and it's one of those things where we don't really often take time to sit back and think about, you know, how what an honor and a privilege it is for us to serve and kind of be the caretakers for this short moment in time for the county. So I just wanted to take a minute. The actual day is on Friday, February 19th, and the proclamation reads, whereas Kendall County has a long, rich history in Illinois dating back to its first settlers in the 19th century, and whereas favorable weather conditions in the early 1830s allowed hundreds of settlers to travel west to Illinois, and whereas by 1838 the communities of Oswego, Newark, Yorkville, Little Rock, Lisbon, and Millington had been settled, and whereas residents of Oswego, Bristol, and Little Rock townships originally traveled north to Geneva to conduct legal business at the Kane County Courthouse, and whereas those living in Neosse, Kendall, Fox, Big Grove, Lisbon, and Seward Townships traveled to Ottawa to conduct legal business in the LaSalle County Courthouse, and whereas settlers living along the Fox River between Ottawa and Aurora worked together to establish a new county to call their own, and whereas the original petition circulated in the fall of 1840 asked the Illinois General Assembly to establish a new county comprised of 9 townships, and whereas when the new county was proposed in the Illinois House of Representatives, it included the boundaries for new townships that would eventually become the townships of Little Rock, Bristol, Oswego, Fox, Kendall, Neosse, Big Grove, Lisbon, and Seward, and whereas the name of the newly created county would be Kendall in honor of Postmaster General Amos Kendall under President Andrew Jackson, and whereas the legislation creating Kendall County was approved by the Illinois Senate and the Illinois House of Representatives on February 13, 1841, and whereas the legislation was approved on February 19, 1841. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Kendall County Board that February 19, 2016 marks the 175th anniversary of the creation of Kendall County in the state of Illinois, and the people of Kendall County are encouraged to recognize and celebrate this historic occasion with their fellow citizens across this county. That would be adopted today, the 16th of February, 2016. And I also received a resolution from the Illinois General Assembly. And I'll forward that. I won't read that one, but I'll forward that to the clerk so she can add it to the record. It was a House Resolution number 996. It was offered by Representatives John D. Anthony, Keith Wheeler, and Mark Batnick to also recognize the 175th anniversary of our county. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Scott. All right, we have a motion and a second, correct? Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Congratulations, Kendall County. One of my many children was born on February 19th in Kendall County, so I have some connection to this. All right. Now, are we ready to act?
Not yet.
Okay. Public safety.
Mr. Chairman, the Public Safety Committee did meet this month. We heard reports from the sheriff, EMA director, and others. Item of discussion included the security system upgrade. We tentatively plan to meet again next month.
Are there any questions for Matthew? Hearing none, Administration HR Committee, Lynn Kulick.
We met and we continued discussions on insurance issues and organizational charts. We had an update from technology. Scott joins us at every meeting and gives us an update there. We will meet again on the 23rd of this month at 5:30, where we will continue said discussions.
Any questions for Lynn about organizational charts or other matters? Highway. Would that be Mr. Kokel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got one question for you. What hospital was your child born at in Kendall County?
Old Copley. Oh.
That's in Kendall County? Anyway.
No, it's in Kane, which we
used to be part
of. What is that?
Motion to approve a resolution appropriating $120,000 motor fuel tax funds to seal coat Grove Road from Carroll Road to U.S. Route 52.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call. I'm sorry, Mr. Purcell, what a surprise.
Yes. Thank you. Where is the contract to strike this? Will that come forward at a future date? I assume this is just seal coating without striping. They've been separate in the past. Please.
Stripe?
Yeah, if we're sealing this, don't we need to stripe it? Or?
Yeah, typically we do striping outside for seal coating outside the contract just as a maintenance item. For seal coat roads.
Okay, so there's not a contract for that?
Typically, no.
Oh, okay. So that will get done then?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So is this tar and chip or sealed or asphalt?
Tar and chip.
How do you stripe tar and chip?
Same way you stripe asphalt with paint.
Really?
Doesn't show up quite as well, but we still
do
it.
No, it doesn't. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Maybe the next item.
Roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Next item I have is a motion to approve resolution appropriating $1.4 million of motor fuel tax funds to resurface Plainfield Road from Grove Road to Ridge Road.
Second.
Mr. Purcell, now this could be striped very easily.
I'll just stay up here for a minute.
Well, then maybe the answer is the answer the same for this one?
No, it's in the contract.
This one is. Okay, thank you. Good thing I asked.
That's very interesting.
Roll call.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
The next motion we're making is a house cleaning motion that we do every year, as some of you may remember. But it's approve a resolution appropriating funds for the payment of the county engineer's salary of $109,000 and authorizing IDOT to transfer $54,500 of federal surface transportation funds in return for an equal amount of the state funds.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
And my final, Mr. Chairman, is just an announcement. It's recipients of the 2016 Kendall County Transportation Alternatives Program, our TAP fund, that we started several years ago. And it's the Kendall County Forest Preserve District in the amount of $3,000 for shared use path along Route 34 between Illinois Route 47 and Orchard Road. And our other recipient is the City of Yorkville in the amount of $35,000 for multi-use path and sidewalks along Illinois Route 47 here in Yorkville. And those are just announcements. No action needed on those. That's my report, Mr. Chairman. Any questions?
Do we have any questions about the funds for the path? I have a question. Is that going to be held in abeyance until Route 34 is done between Illinois Route 47 and Orchards? I see a gentle nodding of yes, and I assume that Fran has the answer to that, but that's all right. No, I don't need you. Stay back there. Facilities, Mr. Davidson.
Did we vote on number four?
We don't have to vote on it.
We don't have to vote on it.
We don't have to
vote on it. Just an announcement of a gift.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to approve the lightning protection contract for the courthouse at Route 34 with Continental Electric in the amount of $23,790, which will be reimbursed at a later date by the Public Building Commission.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Finance Committee, Mr. Purcell.
Thank you. Finance Committee met last Thursday. We have one action item. I would move we approve the claims, the amount of $621,610.57, and grand jury claims, the amount of $750.
Second.
Discussion, question, complaint? Roll call.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes, we have a deficit.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kopel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulig?
Yes.
I have nothing else from the committee. Thank you.
Do you have an announcement?
Nothing yet.
Sorry. Nothing yet. So now we move on to labor and grievance. Ms. Flowers is not here, so who is the
committee
second
didn't
in
meet.
Command? No report?
No, didn't
report.
Meet.
No grievances?
There's always grievances, but we just haven't met.
All right. Okay. Nothing. Committee of the Whole, we met. We had contentious discussions. Some of which we are still trying to settle here. In fact, that was the main discussion at the Committee of the Whole. And
it's not in there.
Trying to think, it isn't in here. That's how much I rate, I guess.
They weren't done.
All right. Could I have now a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Special committee report. Public Building Commission.
The PBC did not meet. However, with the lightning protection approved, we might be signing the last check for the PBC, and hopefully then we will be able to start to close the PBC out, have one final meeting where we're able to take the remaining funds, put them in the appropriate spots for both the Public Safety Center and the courthouse, and the PBC will cease to function. So keep working on that.
Cease to function. That's always a good news. Any committee that dies of sudden or slow death. VAC?
VAC has not met. That's a quarterly meeting, so we reported on it last time, but we'll meet again.
This is an important committee. Historic Preservation?
We meet tomorrow night.
Board of Health.
The Board of Health typically meets on the night after the county board. However, due to scheduling conflicts, we will be meeting a week from tonight, next Tuesday, at I think it's 6:30. I think we bumped the meetings up a little bit to get out of the place before midnight. So it'll be the 23rd at the HHS.
Any questions? Juvenile Justice Council, Judy Gilmore.
The council meets April 1st.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
It meets April 1st.
Thank you. All right, now we are returning.
Mr. Chairman.
What? Oh, Mr. Greider. Oh,
you may be returning to what I was going to ask about.
We are returning. Excuse me. This is a donut trying to come up. Approval 2, Standing Committee Reports, Planning, Building, and Zoning, Item 3, Approval of Variances.
We received a confirmation from the emergency order that was filed today from Judge Pilmer. I spoke to Attorney Smith for the petitioner. I spoke to Attorney Ingenson for Fox Metro. They have, and the court order, I'll just read it to you, I think it's probably self-explanatory. Court has decided to reserve its ruling on the verified emergency motion for temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction. Two, the parties agree as follows. A variance regarding the floodplain compensatory storage shall be tabled. I'm sure they can do that, but that's close enough. B, that the variance regarding the on-site stormwater storage shall be presented for a vote to the county board, again, within your direction. And the motion is continued to March 3rd of 2016 at 9 a.m. So in essence, you don't have to do anything today. You can choose to table the entire thing. You cannot vote on the issue, obviously, of the floodplain. You may, if you choose to, vote on an amended ordinance for variance as to the on-site stormwater storage. I think that makes it clear. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them from the legal side.
Okay. Mr. Greider, what is your pleasure?
I would make a motion then to approve the variance to accept the fee in lieu of site runoff storage under the requirements of sections 201.6, depressional storage, and 203 site runoff storage requirements of Article 2 of the Kendall County Stormwater Management Ordinance for on-site stormwater detention, and the amount of 6.69 acre feet, and depressional storage in the amount of 0.40 acre feet for the Fox Metro Reclamation District located at 682 State Route 31 in Oswego Township.
And you have that amended ordinance, I think, that Mr. Starrett provided?
Right. And the amended ordinance that was passed around, I think it it does cut out the portion that we're under a TRO right now, right?
It's an agreement at this point by the parties. We took no position from the county and let them make their decision. And they agreed to do so. I was comfortable with that as the representative from the county to let them decide how they wanted to proceed. And they've agreed to hold off on that issue until at least March 3rd.
March 3rd.
March 3rd at 9 a.m. Correct.
March 3rd at 9 a.m.
is the next court date for this. If they resolve it between now and then, obviously an agreed order can be entered, but there will be a status date on March 3rd.
Mrs. Gilmore?
Okay, just to be clear then, to vote on that, the first part, is there a possibility then that Fox Metro is going to consider putting that storage detention area at their property on 31?
That's a question I can't answer for.
I don't know who can answer that.
So there's two components, detention storage and floodplain compensatory storage. And the floodplain compensatory storage is the one that is controversial, I'll call it. And that element, I know Fox Metro is going to look at providing some of that storage on their site. They're going to look at other alternatives, is my understanding. Again, I'm not the petitioner.
Okay.
I'm representing you. But so if I've misstated anything, but what we've agreed in the county, Fox Metro, and some of the adjacent residents is to try and find resolution to everybody's satisfaction on the comp storage.
So the answer would be yes, they may be considering putting that at the 31 location.
I think it's
then
fair to say they may be considering putting some or all of it on the Fox Metro plant site.
And so the variance then is, does our vote affect that? That's what I want to know.
No. Again, that's a technical question, but from my understanding, the way the variance is drafted, it does not.
It does not.
Okay. Thank you.
You're not voting on the compensatory storage nor the Orchard Road site, if you will, just to be clear.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Davidson?
One question. If there was room for this on site, why didn't they do this in the first place and there wouldn't have had to be a variance? Could you answer, somebody answer that?
That's an excellent question. Our plant was built in 1929, and some of the area we're considering putting the compensatory storage now used to be where we held our biosolids and let them evaporate in a holding area. We rarely use that area of the district at this point in time because we do more modern things with solids. We centrifuge them, and then they're able to go to the farm fields. In the past, they used to just let them sit out to Mother Nature in a big holding pond area and let them,
migrate down.
Reach into the ground, and then that would go back to the head plant for full treatment. We're considering looking at that older type of process and eliminating that area for future use. So it's a big decision. But yet we've got modern capabilities today that we think we can eliminate that.
Thank you. I appreciate the answer.
Mr. Kokel and then Mr. Purcell.
My question was for our engineer. Just in layman's terms today, so everybody in the board and the audience understands, what we would be voting on for clarification is no activity at this time on the Orchard Road spot until further due with you guys and further looking into it. So all the activity at this time would be up on 31, is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Mr. Purcell.
Thank you. I have several questions. One is, a compensatory storage deals with water flowing off the site?
No, compensatory storage deals with water. It's the floodplain of the Fox River.
Okay.
So it deals with water that, as the level of the river rises, it floods land, the floodplain, if you will. And so if they are filling in a portion of that floodplain, that component deals with the to basically compensate for that fill with excavation.
The water from the site?
No. It's the water from the river. The compensatory storage does not deal with the water from the site. Compensatory storage deals with the floodplain and the water from the river. So that's not the water from their site.
Well, how does the compensatory storage then relate to their site?
They're filling in part of the floodplain. The current proposed plan shows that they're filling in part of the floodplain in order to meet the water quality mandates from the EPA. And so because they're filling in a portion of the floodplain, they're required by ordinance to excavate somewhere else on site. And they've, based on their treatment requirements, they've run out of property, is my understanding. Again, I'm speaking on behalf of the petitioner.
Okay.
Does that help?
It does, yes, thank you. I guess the question I have is, and I have a statement on the question. The question is, if they can now consider doing this on site, should they not look and see if perhaps they could do the compensatory storage on site? They've come up with here in the last 4 or 5 days potential options that weren't considered until they presented them to us. So, you know, I think they need to do that. And then the second thing is, and again, I'm going to be consistent on this one, but because Mr. and Mrs. Bannister were able to file an injunction, their voices were able to be heard. However, I think every one of us here has agreed that probably those people should have been notified. So for the other property owners downstream that weren't aware of this, didn't find out, I still think we need to redo this process and have them give a public hearing and notification to those people downstream. Just because the one person found out, however they did, if we think that the process is flawed, it's still flawed whether somebody filed an injunction or not.
Mr. Worley.
John, and that's something that we, I think Scott and I discussed a little bit, is that we need to amend our the way we do the stormwater ordinance, and that this is a unique situation where we have two different sites in one petition, so that a notification maybe in the future should allow demand notification to all adjacent property owners. And I forget how we exactly worded it, but we're going to be working on that. And then the second thing we want to do, or look at anyway, is the way we notify people, because simply giving them a registered letter sometimes to the property owner does not necessarily get to the people. So maybe a regular mail and a registered letter would be a more appropriate way to do it, short of sending email blasts out and everything else. I think that's about the best way that we can reach people. So both those things are under consideration for future.
Mr. Purcell again.
I'd like to ask the petitioner and our engineer and our staff to answer this question. If this is approved today, and you do your research and your studies and find out you can't make the compensatory storage work on site, and you decide to go back to the Orchard Road site, will you go through a public hearing and notify all the property owners, or are you still taking the position that you took Thursday, which you stated it's not required? That's real important to me, and it's real important, I think, that the public hear your answer.
In all due respect, we believe that we have followed all the county ordinances to date. But if the county wants us to and requires us to, there's no problem with notifying all parties involved. To the best of our ability, we want to be a collaborative effort. We don't like conflict. We want to do the best we can to notify citizens. Had we known of this problem, we would have gladly notified all adjacent property owners. We're just trying to follow the variance to get something approved. We understand that. So we'll do whatever the county would like us to do, and we thought we were doing what the county wanted us to do, quite honestly.
You were.
Yeah. So whatever it takes.
Yeah,
we got a project. We got to get her going.
And on behalf of county staff, if I could look at Jeff to make sure, I think the answer is yes. We would notify all the residents adjacent to this property. I think Mr. Worley identified this off-site facility was something we had not considered in the ordinance. I hear what you're saying here, and I don't think anyone's dissented from that opinion that those property owners should have been notified, and we would, moving forward on this particular project, would notify them. That's fair to say on behalf of the county.
Mrs. Gilmore.
Something, it's not clear, I don't think it was in the information we were given, but what, we keep hearing that you are under, you know, under the gun to get this done, but what is the time frame, what is your requirement to get this project started?
We have a project award of contractors on site, and if you've gone through the site, they've removed all the trees. Now they're waiting for one permit that they're required to get from the state of Illinois, but they could get that tomorrow. We are under our permit requirement to get this project completed, and the contractor has 3 years to do this. And it's a $87 million project. So if you can envision that amount of work on 25 acres to complete the project, we have to be in a position to begin to remove phosphorus very soon thereafter. We have about a year to fine-tune the process, and then we're going to start to be regulated on when we discharge the Fox River. So we're under a strict timeline by the state of Illinois and the U.S. EPA. And we'll do everything we can to comply with that, whatever you want us to do. And we think we've tried to do that to date. And the reason why we're trying to separate this second variance today is to work with adjacent property owners. We didn't know that these problems were going to crop up, okay? We're going to do what we can. And whatever you need us to require to do.
Well, right, and we don't want to hold up the project. That's not, I don't think that's anybody's desire here on this board to do that. But, you know, you do understand that we would like you to go that extra mile in notifying the public that's going to live around that area.
If the county would have asked us to, there's no question we would have. And the answer to you today is you could have come back and say, why didn't you? It was your responsibility. We didn't know it was our responsibility to do that. Okay?
I understand.
So
that's fair.
I don't know what to tell you else. We've been in 5 meetings here. We want to do what you want us to do. Okay? Mm-hmm. But we need to work together, please.
Anything else? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Congratulations. All right, racing ahead. To other business, is there any other business to come in front of this board? Hearing none, chairman's report. I have a reappointment of Dan Roberts to the Manuka Fire Protection District as a trustee with a 3-year term expiring 2019. Again, he is a reappointment and has been confirmed by their fire department. There has been quite a bit of interest in this fire district, but they wanted to stay with Dan Roberts. So I need a vote on that appointment.
I'll second that motion.
Is there any discussion or questions about my...
Who made the motion?
He did.
I made it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stated chairman. It was seconded by Mr. H.D. Death back. No, Robert H.D. nephew. Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All right, citizens to be heard. Good. Questions from the press. Super good.
No, we're all set.
So I will now entertain a motion to go into our second phase of executive session.
You thought you were out of it, weren't you, Jeff? So moved.
Second.
And it's for three purposes. One. Sorry.
Okay, sorry.
For number one, the employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body. Two, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees. And 11, litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before court or tribunal.
Roll call.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Yeah, what were we thinking?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, out of here.
Bye, guys.
Very commendable.
Thank you.
I'll see you.